It is the Brotherly Love Podcast. Should be a happy, cheery, merry, you might say, episode. I don't know if it's going to have that feel. Joe O'Donnell, John Mead here with you. Thanks for listening, as always. Anchor.fm, all your podcast platforms. Johnny Mead, Merry Christmas. And
Merry Christmas let's hope, to you, Jeff.
Let's hope it is a Merry Christmas. Let's hope the Eagles don't ruin the holiday.
Nah. Well, I like the omen. The omen is they're going to be wearing the black jerseys. They've had a lot of success. I would love to see what their record is when they're sporting the black jersey. We got to be over 500 in the black jersey. I wonder what that is.
Well, I would love to know that as well, my friend. But
we'll have to text Paul Hembakidis, Hembo, from ESPN. He would know.
Who is that?
You don't know who Paul Hembakidis is? Really?
No. Is he the guy that used to do all the stats for Stump the Schwab?
Yeah, well, he was probably in the mix. Schwab? Oh, Howie Schwab, man, that guy's an animal. Yo, wouldn't you like to see Howie Schwab versus Joe DeCamer? Wow, that'd be a showdown.
The Schwab would bury him.
That'd be funny as hell. I might bring that up. Well, I might have to bring that up. But yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll find out. No, he's a producer for Mike Greenberg.
Oh, okay.
But I think he's got local ties to the Philly area.
All right.
I don't know if he's a graduate from Temple University, but anyway. But he's a stat wizard.
How you been, my friend? How you doing? How's baby watch coming along? How's Marissa?
Oh, you know, baby watch is good, man. We got a baby. It's growing well. You know, it's in the upper percentiles, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Giant, good-looking father.
With your size.
Right now, we got a 4-pounder, 7-ounce baby on our hands as we speak. So we're excited. Things are going well. We're the final countdown. So, yeah, things are good.
Appreciate the update. Glad to hear it, my friend.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of updates. It'll be good. So
looking forward to seeing you on Christmas at the Link.
Of course, dude. Drinking at the Lincoln again. No doubt.
Love it very much. And let's just hope, again, they don't ruin our holiday. All right. We got a bunch to get into. We got Sixers and Flyers. We got to get to them.
Yeah.
We just
can't keep shoving them to the curb.
Yeah, we can't keep shoving the curb. They're playing too well. They demand our respect. We're going to start with the Birds, a 3-game losing streak. All right, let me just ask you this. As quick and simple as this question is.
Yes.
Had the Eagles beaten the Seahawks Monday night in Seattle, would you still be worried? Would the town still be in panic mode?
Yeah, because it just wasn't a convincing win. I mean, unfortunately, that has been the story with this football team all year. They just
if they had pulled it off, if Drew Locke doesn't go down the field and makes me sick in my stomach, you still think people would be on edge?
Well, I mean, I think people are like just worried, like, you know, start of the season, everyone's like, man, this team can legitimately get back to the Super Bowl. And now it's like, we don't fix our problems, we're going to be a first-round bounce out. So that's kind of, I think, the measure of the fan base is right. I mean, some fans are ready, like, it's over, might as well get ready for next year. Yeah, get
fire
the draft
Sirianni,
going.
Get a new coach.
Fire everybody.
Quarterback.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
All right, so then what's your level of concern? Level-headed John Mita hasn't been all uttered much. What's your level of concern?
Said no one.
Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of things offensively. They just got to get more creative but players have to play better. But honestly, Joe, it really comes down to, you know, the decline or regression in Jalen Hurts is very concerning right now.
Wow. Hold on. I got to stop you.
Okay.
Because you know your good, our dear friend, Michael P. Hamilton, was all over you. And he was just waiting like a cockroach, just waiting to come on out, I'm sure. And you have been a staunch believer in Jalen, as have I, maybe longer than some.
Now,
are you concerned about the quarterback? Let's take out the game plan and the coaching and the decision-making and the play design, all the execution, injuries. Mm-hmm. Just on Jalen Hurts. Let's go there for a minute. Where are you?
You know, I just think the decision making has just been poor. He is missing guys wide open, but I don't think the offense is the play design between Sirianni and Brian Johnson has been good enough.
Yeah.
Listen, the quarterback's best friend is running the football. And this is what I said to Hamilton. I said, DeAndre Swift has gotten three carries in three consecutive games in the first half. There is no running back. I don't give a crap if your name is Sweetness, Walter Payton, Jim Brown. If you only give a running back one out of every 10 plays, he gets a carry. How do you expect him to get in rhythm? You know, for me, when it comes to running backs, it's all about rhythm and rhythm and repetition. Repetition means like, okay, get a carry here. Keep getting the ball. They run the ball once every, you know, and it's just amazing. Jalen can't sit under center. I don't understand how quarterbacks at this level, you can't put a guy under center just to hand the freaking ball off. You don't have to pass out of formation. I don't even care if you run play action, but just to give your defense another look. And to be honest, Joe, I'm sorry. I hate to say it, but just looking at the way he is throwing the football to me is, I think his knee and his leg still bother him a little bit. I just don't see. Well,
that's unfortunate because then it would be back-to-back years where he's hurt down the stretch.
Right.
And then we're getting into Joel Embiid territory where how can you fairly ever grade him if he's always banged up? Now, if that's the case, then, you know, is it a concern long-term? You just paid this guy the farm and he can't stay healthy. I don't think he's hurt, John Mead. I really don't. Listen, I'm not saying the bone bruise or whatever was in the knee wasn't legit, but I can't imagine it doesn't seem to be affecting him when he's running. It just feels like some of the plays that were so easy for the Eagles last year aren't there anymore. Well, the defense across the NFL, defenses have made their adjustment. What's the Eagles' counterpunch? I haven't seen it. I don't, like, we talk about it. They use motion, the least in the NFL. Okay, if you don't believe in motion, that's fine. What about just some ways to get the ball out quickly? I don't see that ever.
I don't see any. Dude, they did a screen pass to Dallas Goedert, and Devontae Smith was the lead blocker. Now, listen, Smitty for a wide receiver is a decent blocker, but that's a play where maybe you go Julio Jones to be, and he's not much of a blocker either, but
at least he's a large human.
Exactly. But the fact that they ran the ball in the first drive, because I was flying down to Florida for work, so I kind of missed. I caught some of it, but I just looked at the stats. You know, they ran the ball, and they finally put 7 points up on the board, and they called 10 runs. So my question is, why did they not keep coming back to the goddamn well when it was effective in the first quarter?
Coaches usually say, like, oh, I got to put guys in the position, right? It makes you sick to your stomach. You hear it so much. But I honestly don't know that this staff is putting guys in the position to be successful.
No, I totally agree with you. And listen, Shane Steichen. I mean, you want to talk about missing? If we were to pick between what coordinator, and you could answer this, Jonathan Gannon or Steichen, who was more important? I think it's clear and obvious that Shane Steichen is more important, considering what he's doing with Gardner Minshew out in Indianapolis. And it's just
not a lot of talent.
How did Buffalo boat race Dallas? They ran the ball. Yep. Shit, I think Josh Allen only threw the ball 9 times.
Yeah, he had 9 completions.
And of course, James Cook, you know, yards. James Cook, my fancy running back on bye because the backdoor Bandits were regular season champions. Like to throw that one out there. But, you know, had a 38 piece. But it's like they just ran it down Dallas's throat. Now, you're telling me our offensive line, we don't have the horses, the dogs to go after Dallas's defensive line? See, right there, there's a disconnect.
Yes.
And that's coaching. And I think, Joe, a lot of the struggles in the last 3 weeks is coaching.
Yeah.
And some of it's personnel. Listen, defensively, we all know where their shortcomings are. I mean, obviously, linebacking core. You know, I did like what some of the young kids showed in the secondary between Kaylee Ringo and Sidney Brown could be a play. You know, he's a little crazy. He reminds me, he's kind of like a little like Troy Polamalu. You know, Troy Polamalu's rookie year, he came in like a bat out of hell, like the Tasmanian devil. And then he kind of found himself, you know, a couple of years in the league, he kind of found a way to get a little more under control. And obviously, he's one of the best safeties of all time. But
Sidney Brown's always late to the party.
Yeah.
He's always a step late.
He's always late to the party. But again, That's because the game speed between playing in the Big Ten at Illinois and playing in the NFL, man.
Yeah, you'll be a step late. Yeah, you'll be a step late to the party.
Right,
I get it.
Which again, like 2 to 3 years from now, he will own that type of anticipation and he will be able to make those plays. Just like Seth Jordan said, comes out, like, yo, that guy gets the right coach, he's gonna be a player. So
all right. Well, I trust Seth Joyner, who's been very critical of the Eagles. I'm sure you're loving that.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you know what?
Them.
Oh my God. Well, a lot of these guys stay off social media, you know, and go play football.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. You know, I'm trying to listen, Slay. You know, you can't call me Darius. It's like, you know, you call me by my name. You know? And when he came out and said, well, and some linebacker named Seth Joyner, I about threw up in my mouth. Some linebacker named Seth Joyner, he arguably, beside, like, I don't know, Chuck Bednarik, is probably the best linebacker in franchise history.
Yeah.
Some
Trott,
linebacker.
It's Trott, it's Joyner, it's Bednarik, and end of list.
And maybe Bill Berge. I mean, you know, everyone loved Bill Berge. These guys played so hard today. But my little Canadian Bill Berge. But anyway, it's – so, I mean, what are your thoughts? Like, what did you like?
I don't like any of it, to be honest. I really don't.
I know, man.
I don't like the deep shots when it feels like there's no need. I don't like the lack of commitment to the run game. I don't like the fact that it feels like every time Hurts breaks the pocket – on some of those keepers, you know, the RPOs, he's just sliding down. It's like there's a defender waiting there, and he just gives up on the play. I don't like lack of involvement for DeAndre Swift in the passing game. I don't like the lack of touches for Dallas Goedert. I mean, there's so many things that I don't like right now about the way this team is trending.
Like, you know, they want to throw Dallas Goedert on bubble screen. So, like, dude, where are these plays? Like, you look at other – like, look at the top tight ends in the league, right? Obviously, they're just great talented. Look at the guys like Mark Andrews from Baltimore, even though he's hurt. Kelsey. Like, they get these guys open. They're running, you know, flat – they're running, like, sail routes down the middle. Like, he's matched up against a linebacker between a linebacker in the middle of the field. And the safety are playing cover deep, you know, cover two deep. Like, dude, there is plays to be had there, plays to be taken. I just look at it, it's like, and the predictability. I mean, I told you this. I mean, we talked about it. You know, Christian McCaffrey, here's a guy that plays on the offensive side of the football, getting interviewed by the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. And he literally calls out like he's Tony Romo, you know, and calls out like the Eagles play. And it's like, if somebody that's on the other side of the football can just look at what the hell your formation is and your tendencies and be able to predict it, that means your offense is way too predictable and you need to change it up. You got to stir the pot.
But how? How has this happened?
Well, you know what I would do?
Why?
This is what I would
like,
do. Okay. All right. We're going to make John Mita, okay, the offensive coordinator.
You know, there was some talk in a group chat about that happening, actually.
All right.
I said Chuck for Mount Airy.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
Chuck.
Excuse me. I said OG Wade, Mita.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck from Mount Airy can replace Dom on security. If you've ever seen a picture from Chuck from Mount Airy,
he looks like a bigger version of Dave Chappelle.
Honest to God, he also looks like a long-lost member of the hip-hop group Onyx from back in the day.
Nice. Onyx has got a TV show, dude.
Get the hell out of here.
Onyx has a TV show. I swear to God.
Stop it. Sticky fingers in the game.
Hang on.
You got to send me a link.
Onyx TV show.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Nope, that's not what I'm looking for. Hang on.
Here we go.
All right, go ahead. Give me what you were going to say.
Offensively, what I was going to say is what I would do is, go back in the playbook from last year. I want you to pull out every successful play that you worked and used last season and start taking them. Just like what Doug did with Nick Foles to prepare him for the playoff run in the Super Bowl. They kind of went back to some of Chip Kelly's offense and were like, all right, what made Nick throw 27 touchdowns and have like two interceptions? What were the plays? Like, what worked, what didn't? Throw this, you know? Okay, I know one play that we can literally throw out of the goddamn playbook, okay? The wide receiver bubble screen needs to be burned. Burned alive at the stake, you know? So, I don't know. That's what I would do. I would just – but listen, this is a copycat league, you know? I don't know.
This is why I don't understand why they're not taking plays – from other teams, or they're not scheming things differently. Like, why are the Eagles unable to get just easy looks, easy games? I go back to last year.
Dude, okay? You look at San Francisco, it's unbelievable to me. Dude, these guys are – they are wide open. Like,
yes, wide open. Doesn't take an hour to get the football out of the quarterback's hand.
No, look at – I don't know. Did you catch any of last night's game? Like the Rams? Sean McVay?
Why wouldn't you – I didn't because the Wild were playing, but why wouldn't you – I watched some of the highlights. Why wouldn't you have guys in motion? They get a running start. It's like the old arena league where you could start from 10 yards deep and start running full sprint ahead to the line of scrimmage. When the ball snapped, you are moving forward. I know you can't do that in the NFL, but that's like guys moving.
But you can if you time it right, you can get people move like almost right at the snap. Because it's funny you just brought that up. Because like I look at a guy like last night, like you know the talented rookie from the Los Angeles Rams, Puka Nacua. I mean, this guy, he doesn't have blazing speed, but they put him in motion. They did matchups. Dude's weaving in and out of the seat. I mean, the guy, they're just making him wide open just on alignment and motion alone.
Right.
Like, Nick's like, oh, we don't really do that. Well, maybe you should, dude.
Yeah.
Because your offense sucks right now.
Yep. I remember last year, dude. They would have Hurts would pull it back from the running back. He would take about three steps to his right, and Goddard would be leaking off the end of the line of scrimmage, wide open every time. I haven't seen that play. I feel like, I mean, that was their 3rd and 1, 4th and 3, bread and butter last year. And it was child's play. Like, fake it. That holds the one linebacker. Hurts starts to run. Somebody's got to respect that, or at least they did last year. And then Goddard just pops out. He's wide open. And it's a gain of 15 instead of a gain of 4. You know, Hurts doesn't have to slide down. You don't have to take a hit. Right. The ball's coming out of his hands quick. And it's a open receiver. You know?
And I don't see – and I don't know if this is, like, just – like, some of the receivers just being upset with Jalen or the coaching. I just don't see them selling their routes. You know what I mean? Like, you look at master technicians when it comes to, like, wide receivers and route running. There's like certain ways, the way they move their feet, even their arms and their hand motion. Like, it looks like we're running stuff at half ass, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right. So, some ways to fix the offense, just get more creative, get touches to DeAndre Swift. Try to get guys in motion to create some mismatches.
Yeah.
For the love of God, stop with the unnecessary deep shots, like time and place, right? Football.
That game,
the Seahawks got that field goal, and they're down 4, and the Eagles got the ball, and they went, I don't know, 4 plays for 40 yards, and they were basically at midfield, like, no big deal. You know, first down, second and whatever, first down. Like, they were driving the ball, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, worst case, you're getting a field goal here, you're back up 7 with, I don't know, 6 minutes to go, and I'll take that every day.
Well, right.
Let's throw one deep to Quez fucking Watkins, the biggest bum on the roster, the softest fucking receiver we've ever had. I hate that guy.
I'm with you,
buddy. Never dropped 3 fucking F-bombs in 250 episodes. Fuck that guy. Hopefully Jake doesn't listen.
Yeah, well, for the younger audience, this is just passion, okay? We're not...
so done with him.
No, I mean, I think everyone is. I mean, the most disappointing thing with him is, buddy, he just doesn't fight for the ball.
No, he doesn't care.
At the very least, tackle the guy or maybe get called for offensive pass interference to try to break it up.
If you're going
to
get rid of Derek Barnett, who is just a bad apple, just a loser.
Yeah, sure.
Then get rid of Quez Watkins. Okay,
well,
because I don't care about his speed. If he doesn't catch the ball, his speed doesn't matter. Number one,
I know.
Did you hear that in the press conference? Embarrassing.
You want to talk about what a bad take that was? It's just his speed. Like
he's
great.
On the field 9 plays a game. Sirianni, who is he scaring?
He's a speed decoy. You know, we just want him out there to run. And maybe
by the way, like I know we got all excited about Julio Jones. What is he doing? Does he play? Does he get a target? Can he get on the field? Like, why is he on the roster if he literally can't get on the field? Is he that banged up still? Is he old? Does he not know the playbook? Like, what? This guy's a Hall of Famer. Why is he, like, not even able to contribute at all?
Yeah.
In 6 weeks. He had a touchdown, like, his second game or something. He literally hasn't done anything since. Now, I don't get to watch every play because sometimes I'm working. But I haven't seen him do anything, and I haven't seen him in the box score, and I don't even see him on the field half the time.
Right.
What are we doing?
Well, and this is, listen, you know, thank you for the New York Giants coming to town. Hopefully this is the get-right game where everybody eats.
Dude, if it's not, I swear to God.
We throw up a 38-piece, you know, and send Tommy Cutlets back up the old turnpike to go get some pastrami.
I want to sing the fight song six times on Christmas Day. That's what I want to do.
I mean,
not including pregame and postgame.
At least five. At least five.
All right, I mean, I'll take five plus pregame.
Five is 35 points. Fine. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe one after. Yeah.
I read an article by Ted Wynn in The Athletic. I sent you just a screenshot right before we started.
Teddy Wynn.
Okay. He's talking about the way defenses have changed playing the Eagles and going to a lot of quarters coverage. That's two deep safeties, but the safeties can help in run situations. And he notes that the Eagles, like, their explosive plays are way down. They're, you know, this that they used to do last year is way down. And it's because teams are playing them different and, you know, they're not executing whatever, but like they're getting different looks and they're not exploiting it. They're not changing anything. They're just sticking with it. And it's not nearly as impactful as it was. And he mentions in here, and he's showing like screenshots of like pre-snap and stuff with the 49ers in particular and how they just exposed the 49ers last year with a couple of run plays to the weak side because the Niners would load up on the strong side. Birds would just run it to the weak side and they just owned them in the NFC Championship game. Okay. Obviously not the case when they played. But he notes this one thing. He goes, and there's a ton in here, like way more than my brain could process. But he's like, because the offense is in shotgun, referring to the Eagles, because the offense is in shotgun, run plays take longer to develop, so safeties have time to come up from depth.
Shocker.
So when they're playing the two deep quarters look, the Eagles now can't have a one-on-one with A.J. Brown. They can't have – so, okay, well, we're going to run the ball because two deep safeties. Well, off the shotgun run – by the time that running back gets to the line of scrimmage, that safety's now 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. He's meeting him in the hole for a 2 yard gain. It's driving me crazy. By the way, on defense, I swear to God, if they don't tackle on Monday like men, I'm going to lose my mind.
No, man. I know. Lastly,
I'm sorry, John, to cut you off, but now you can tell I'm spicy. My temperature's starting to rise, the blood pressure's going. Starting to sweat a little bit, I think. Let me just say one more thing. I told you and D-Bird this. I guarantee you this team's going to get booed off the field at halftime on Monday. Doesn't mean they're going to be getting beat by 10 or 15 or 3. Yeah, I just smell an ugly start. I could smell it from a mile away, and they're going to get booed off the field at halftime.
That's pretty much every game of the season. That was the same way the Buffalo game was the same thing. They're down like 17-7. They got booed off the field, and they finally came back and made a hell of a game.
Think about how long ago that game feels like, right? Feels like that game was an eternity ago. Hurts, stoic on the sideline.
Yep.
Elliott makes this kick. They're going overtime. He's pissed off. What a leader. What a warrior. Put the team on his back. Now, Hurts is a bad leader. No emotion. Doesn't rally the troops. Team stinks. Fire everybody. Like with the overreaction, okay? I'm not overreacting. Like, I'm concerned. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't like any of it. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. Do I think they're going to lose in the first round? I don't know because they're playing like complete assholes. But this whole, like, Jalen Hurts MVP, oh, my God, what a performance against the Bills. And literally 3 weeks later when, honestly, I don't think he's been that terrible. Like, I know the interceptions against the Seahawks sucked and he fumbled against the Cowboys and that sucked. But, like, I don't see bad mechanics. I don't see missed throws.
Listen, right?
There might be guys running open, but he's not putting the ball in bad place. He's not worm burnering it like McNabb.
Right. Well, listen, when your defense is giving up 36 points a game, you can come at the quarterback's throat all you want. But the bottom line is if a team is giving up 36 points a game, you can't beat anybody in the NFL. Like, seriously. Like, yeah. That means your offense has got to throw up 40 if they're giving up 35. Like, that's a losing formula.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so.
All right, Matt Patricia's a loser, by the way. Moving along.
All right.
We didn't even touch on that disaster organizationally. You said before we start, have you ever seen a 10-4 team with so much turmoil? No. Like, when they replaced Sean Desai with the pencil-eating pigeon, Matt Patricia, I was like, dude, this is what a 3-10 team does.
Yeah.
Not at the time of 10-3, now 10-4 team. So, anyway. Yeah. All right, Monday predictions. What do you got? Christmas Day at the Link.
Bring it down. I'm going 38-17 Birds. We got to get right, baby. Let's go.
Can the Eagles stop Saquon Barkley?
That's the crazy part. Their run defense was good early in the season, and now, yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah. Can the Eagles actually get legitimate pressure and sack?
Then we get a goddamn turnover and a couple sacks.
And I mean, sack that's the biggest thing. Cutlet.
Dude, we don't get any interceptions, by the way. I think we're, like, in the lowest, like, 10.
Two. I think they have two picks. Like, legit. And it might be six. I don't know. They stink.
No. They have six on the year, but whatchamacallit, Sidney Gardner-Johnson had nine through, like, nine or six picks through nine games.
Yeah.
Which as many as the Eagles had on the season as a team, by the way. So, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, Bradbury right, was terrible. On. Morrow was terrible. All right, prediction? So what'd you say, 38-17?
Yeah, we're going to just go for a bludgeoning. Yeah.
I'm going to give you 27.
Don't give me 23.
27-16.
All right. That's better.
It's a partial get-right game.
Yeah, partial.
Give the ball to DeAndre Swift. By the way, Boston Scott, anytime touchdown.
What is that right now?
I think it's 11-1.
Oh, 1,100?
Listen to this. I saw this. All you degenerates out there, stop what you're doing. Listen up. I saw somebody lay down Boston Scott last touchdown score, 43-1 odds. He laid like $300 to pay like $13,000. And his tweet was, can't wait for this to cash in the middle of Christmas dinner.
That's amazing.
I mean, think about it. If they're up big, or up.
Oh, 100%.
With 7-8 minutes left, you know, dude, the giant killer's coming in.
No, listen.
If they don't game plan, listen to me. I'm going to say this, all right? This might sound crazy. I know it's not fantasy football. I know we're not NFL coordinators, coaches, obviously. Yeah. If they don't get Boston Scott the ball against this giant team, if they don't think that's a real, like, mental thing, they're crazy.
Oh, it is. Well, it's like a running joke, but he's so effective.
It's true. It's kinda... The facts are he owns the Giants.
Yeah.
So give him the damn rock. No more Kenny Gainwell.
Hold on. Let's take. Why don't we take a kitty up on the bus? Everyone throws in. If we got 40 members on the bus, anytime touchdown, Boston Scott, everybody throws in $20. We might walk away with $12,000. What do you think, man? Just a thought for all my degenerate friends up there. All right, you got it.
How about this? We walk around the Jetro parking lot pregame, and we collect money from people.
Yeah.
And then somebody gets on their FanDuel account, and away we go. All right, Johnny Mita, Sixers. Right. You give us a Sixers spiel here. What do you got?
No, I just listen. You look at Nick Nurse, man. We have a decent head coach, man. God, you want to talk about night and day when you have a guy like Coach Nurse against Coach Doc Rivers? I mean, it's not even funny. Joel MVP instead of Joel Embiid. But he's playing at such a high level. But the Max, just you got to give this kid credit. Just every year he gets better and better and better, and he's going to be an all-star. They'll have two all-stars, probably all-star starters, in my opinion, if they keep up at this rate. So he's doing a great job.
How about defensively? You know, what have you seen?
Oh, defensively, it's just a better scheme. They seem to help each other out more. It's a lot of more team-oriented concepts. And from what I read, like, the other day, it's like Nick Nurse said, like, they only have, like, 30 to 40% of their defensive schemes in right now. So –
All right.
Nah, yeah. I mean, it's listen. They're playing at a good level.
Seems like good vibes, man. It seems like good, a good vibes, team
good
vibe.
Chemistry. Yeah. I mean, they like playing with one another. You know, James Harden. I mean, he was kind of an albatross. I heard Maxey had him beat on his podcast. Like, who was harder to play with, Harden or Ben Simmons? And then he asked Maxey the same question. It was kind of an interesting answer.
Yeah.
But they were both terrible to play with. But, yeah, so that's what – so I mean, haven't, like, dialed that strongly into the Sixers yet. But, all right. You know.
It's a big win for Nova Nation the other night in Creighton.
Huge. Yeah, anytime you get – yeah, anytime you get a win in Omaha, Nebraska against the Blue Jays, man, that was huge, even though the refs tried to screw them. But they found a way to get it done. I mean, Eric Dixon, you got to give that kid credit. He's the second leading scorer in college basketball right now behind Zach Edey of Purdue. Eric Dixon's averaging 25 points a game. We had some missteps against him, and the Big Five's coming out strong against Nova. Losses to Penn. Well, Drexel's semi-Big Six, but in St. Joe's. But, yeah. But, yeah, the Cats will – They're coming into the bit now. It's going to start the Big East season. So
yeah. A
lot of their out-of-conference games are off. But they played some tough, out-of-school, like out-of-league opponents. But, yeah, they're looking good.
I got one last thing on Maxey.
All right, give it to me.
Hearken back to the draft night video that John Calipari put out when he was like, Philadelphia, you got a good one.
And yeah.
He was damn right. He would know. Coach Cal would know, and it's taken some time. There's been some bumps in the road, but Maxey is becoming a star before our eyes. I think it's great to see.
I mean, the one thing that I see, the difference in Tyrese, you can tell how much stronger he's gotten. Now he's become like – he's improved his three-point shot, but right now he's become like a prolific finisher, and that's what separates the good guards in this league. Like guys like Damian Lillard.
Yeah, they get to the rack. They get their own shot.
You know what? Right. Westbrook in his prime, you know, even though I can't stand him, but just good finishers. And that's what you need. And all of that is assist games going up. So that's huge.
All right. On the Flyers, they finally lost last night to the Kiefer Sherwood-led Nashville Predators. Stick tap to the Hampshire Clan back in the house.
No doubt. Yep.
18-11-3 for the Fly guys. I think at the beginning of the year on – stupid WIP, because I say that because when it comes to the Flyers, like they're not relevant. They don't talk about them. They don't care.
Yeah. All right.
They don't know. Somebody was like, "Oh, 29 wins this year." Like,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, if that was the bet, I would have taken that and you're going to cash it by February 1st at this rate.
Well, what was the over?
I don't know what it was, but it had to be 30 something at least for crying out loud. 35. I mean, that's a bad hockey team when you're losing. You play 82 games to only win.
I don't know.
You know,
maybe it was 36. I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
But anyway, Tortorella, man, look, as long as the leash is there, or excuse me, as long as, like, you know, the players haven't tuned him out, the guy can coach.
Yeah.
And again, I told you from the get go,
yeah,
he can be a hard ass, but he's honest. You know where you stand, and he cares.
That's it.
And he's got a team that's, you know, playing above expectations, playing hard. They're getting great goaltending from both guys, Hart and Harrison, from everything I've seen. I still haven't watched anything Flyers-related other than the Wild and Flyers in Philly. But I've been checking in. I've been looking at the box scores. I'm following the standings. I'd like to see it. I'll get some time to catch some games down the stretch, but
no, I'm with
good
you.
To see, I mean, we got some teams in Philly that aren't usually on the radar because of the Phil's runs and the Eagles, obviously being the king beast. Good to see them, you know, Sixers and Flyers, especially all the turmoil the Sixers dealt with to get their act together.
Exactly. No, I'm completely with you. It's it's been I haven't watched as much. I mean, I did catch a lot of the game. I actually last night, because I was at my favorite sports bar, Duffy's down here in North Palm Beach representing. But
Duffy's is getting they have the NHL package.
Duffy's gets everything. You kidding me? Wow. We get they get everything. NHL package, NBA package, they get it all.
All right, when are you coming back from Florida Christmas Eve?
No, tomorrow morning. I'll be jet at 7 a.m. I'll be in at 9:30. Right. And I just found out I'm coming back home to a flat tire, apparently. So,
beauty.
You know, things are going well. Yeah. You know.
All right. We both have an Eagles win, even though I feel like they're going to get booed off the field at some point. And if they ruin this holiday, I will never forgive them.
It's not going to happen, Joe. I think these are the three games we need to get right before we go into the playoffs. And at that point, listen, stranger things have happened. Nobody thought the Giants would win the goddamn Super Bowl, sneaking John in as a wild card.
Nobody thought the Eagles fading and falling apart down the stretch with Big Dick Nick coming in had a chance.
That's true, buddy.
And they got it done. So, all hope is not lost. Go Birds. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Johnny Mita. Oh, damn, that's tacky. The Lakers hanging it banner for their in-season tournament win. With a storied franchise like LA, that's like an original six team in hockey, hanging up a banner for winning the division in the regular season or something. And it's even less meaningful, to be quite honest. Damn, that's tacky, LA Lakers. It's an in-season tournament. It was like 10 games long, and you're hanging a banner. Like Kobe, God rest his soul, turned over in his grave, no doubt.
He would have thrown up. And let's piggyback on the L.A. Lakers and the damn that's tacky. How about LaFraud James, goes to his son's college basketball game and just sits down during the national anthem.
No.
Listen, LaFraud.
Stop it.
What?
Yes, he did.
Listen, you've made billions of dollars and millions of dollars in this country. You're probably going to own a sports franchise. And for you to show disrespect again, come on, dog. Come on. He's such an embarrassment. I can't stand that guy. When, everyone's like, LeBron's going to be a free agent. And then if the Sixers draft Bronny Jr., then he can come play in the Sixers, man. Let me tell you something. If the Sixers ever sign that guy, I don't give a shit. I will not watch. I will not be a fan of the team any longer. Wow. That's my call. Yeah. They bring LeBron James to town, I'm out, cuz. That's it. Mic drop. I'll pick a new franchise. That's how strongly my viscery and vitriol, whatever.
Yeah, anyway. There it was. You got it.
Yeah. That's it.
Today, Junior.
Yeah, Junior, speak up. No. I can't stand LeBron. Nothing. And he also came out and said, he doesn't need any white friends. Like, how is that not racist?
All right,
I'm sorry.
Lauren Hill.
Lauren Hill. Lauren Hill said the same thing. Yeah.
Don't you remember the Fugees back in the day? She said, I don't want white people buying my, I'd rather my kids starve than white people buy my music.
Yeah, exactly.
How'd that work out?
Listen, even if you're thinking that, you just don't say it. It's one thing to think, and you just don't say it.
Yeah.
Like, he said it on that show, that HBO show, In the Living Room, whatever the hell.
The Barbershop,
show.
John.
The Barbershop. Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, I don't need white friends. Like, all right, great, dude.
Hey, by the way, that Onyx Collective is, like, the producing group for that car show. Okay. And Swiss Beat. It's with Swiss Beats, not with Onyx, a rapper. So the whole Onyx thing. I saw Onyx and Swiss Beats. And I got all excited. Onyx might be dead for all I know. Anyway, thanks for listening. We got off the rails. It was a little spicy.
Off the rails. I like it.
But when the Birds haven't won in damn near a month, this is what happens.
Listen, Merry Christmas, everybody, or Happy Holidays, whatever you choose to celebrate. Let's hope for a peaceful, lovely upcoming year. And listen, Joe and I really appreciate everyone's support. We can't thank you enough for tuning in. This has been such a dream come true for me personally, such a great outlet when I'm going to go on rants and raves. And it's great how some people listen. So I love it. So I'm going to thank everyone for that.
Well said, buddy.
And thank you, Joe, for always bringing everything to the table, for all the hard work you put in. I can't thank you enough. And I'll be sure to buy you a beer on Christmas.
Love the sound of that. I'll be ready for it. All right, everybody. All right. Take care. Come all right, everyone. Go Birds.
Boston Scott, last touchdown. Okay, take the advice. 43-1. Why not, everyone? Listen,
Birds.
Get a couple of family members. Get, four family members. Throw up 25 piece. You'll be celebrating, all right?
And screw the Giants. Till next time, Brother Love Podcast. We'll see you.